welcome to another episode of Backlog Barbecue. This is Alex, and I'm joined by Ted and Ari.
Hello.
Hey.
Okay, all right. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good?
What? Yeah, well, you've done it. You've finally done it.
Finally? I finally fantasied.
You finally done it.
Do you want to elaborate to our listeners what that actually means? I just want to hear it.
Mere hours after last week's podcast and my saying that I was not going to partake in the Final Fantasy XIV free weekend.
I thought you were going to say Freakazoid.
No. Yeah, you know the end of the sentence. I jumped right into it. And, I now have a level 16 archer.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
That's a level 14 conjurer.
Now you're playing on the PC, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
I have nothing
against it. I play on the PC sometimes as well, but if I don't have the right items equipped, I just quit because item sets aren't cross-platform because they're stored locally.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about that. It's too big of a problem to actually solve. I've actually tried to think about it as a programmer, mm-hmm. how you could transfer it over and do it for free, because that would take everyone having their item sets stored on the server.
Yeah.
It's a lot of database space. You just can't...
Yeah. It's just too much shit to kind of deal with, you know, like from a server standpoint.
The fact that it's cross-platform in this day and age, that seems like a rarity, is like pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. So, Ted and I can kind of like grill you on this. So how is your experience? I mean, obviously you played it last year. You got to like level 30 something, right?
Yeah. So far I have not done anything that I haven't really done before in the game. It's mm-hmm. just kind of reminding myself how it all works and getting back into it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been fun. I'm reminded that it is in fact a great MMO. That it is pretty much the standard for the EverQuest style MMO at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Takes the best pieces from all the best games and puts them all together with a Final Fantasy package.
Yeah.
So why now the hell not? It's fun.
So you haven't played since you played a little bit in 1.0, but you haven't touched 2.0, right?
No. You got it backwards. I played maybe a couple hours of 1.0 before deciding it was complete and total crap and never touching it again. And then I played the first entire month of 2.0.
Well, it's changed a bit since then. Not too much, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the last year, there has been a lot of patch content, has there not?
Mm-hmm.
When I got into the game, 2.2 had just come out, and now, like, I'm in 2.3, and they're really starting to ramp up 2.4. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to get a new job soon.
Well, I still need to get my first one to 50, so I've got a long day before I have to start worrying about the patch content.
Yeah. You'd be surprised, though, because there's a lot of patch content that you're going to start encountering. Because, you know, the one thing that I really like about this game is that, you know, it's not all, like, endgame shit. You know, I mean, yeah, WoW also, like, included dungeons and stuff like that, but, you know, like, now it's relevant, right? Like, now dungeons are relevant in WoW thanks to, you know, the Dungeon Finder. But even then, like, it's like, you know... Like, they put a lot of emphasis in the dungeons in this game and the dungeon partying, and it's kind of nice that they've kind of almost segued the storyline into the dungeons and kind of almost force you to kind of learn how to party with people and whatnot. So,
So far, I've just done a couple of very, very brief multiplayer.
Like, guild hests?
I wouldn't even call them dungeons, because they were basically, like, one fight. I think the next one that I'm supposed to do is the level 15 one, and that one has like probably a few groups of enemies before the boss, so it's
yeah.
It's kind of becoming an actual dungeon, but not really.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about that? Because the way that I kind of saw it was like, you know, they're kind of tutorials for people who've never played MMOs to kind of lead them into that, you know, that kind of fun like tunnel of like, hey, this is what you're eventually going to do for like a whole half hour in like the next few levels, you know?
Yeah, you know, I kind of like the idea of them building up towards that, towards the full-on dungeon. In practice, though, like the first time you enter a multiplayer fight,
mm-hmm.
like 3 seconds after you get there, there's the fight starts and you're already fighting the boss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, you've got five or six different tutorial windows popping up trying to explain things to you.
Yeah,
and the fight's already started, so you basically have to close all these tutorial windows and just wing it and hope you find the tutorial messages later if you've never played before, or just sit there not helping out. So, I mean, there's definitely room for improvement in terms of the learning curve, but I think the majority of people have probably played an MMO before at this point, so it's probably not that big a deal.
Yeah. It's a it constantly amazes me how many people actually like logged in this weekend for the free weekend. Like, you know, Gridania, you know, one of the towns in the game, was just filled with people with the fucking sapling icon next to their names. I'm like, holy hell, this is like the most people I've seen Gridania in a long ass fucking time. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's good. I hope they get a lot of new subscribers. Keep it going.
They're already saying that the beta that they the open beta that they have in China is already in the millions. So,
whoa. Does this make FF14 the number two MMO in the world?
No.
What would be number two then?
I just saw a list the other day. I'm going to have to find it again.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. Give me a few minutes to find that.
Because, I mean, if we get about 2 million from China, that'd be 4 million subscribers. Because right now, WoW is about 7.6 million. That's kind of like the census data that they released from like January this year. So, I mean, it's kind of creeping up there. And they haven't even released it in Korea yet, because that's the next plan, is they're going to release it in China, and then they're going to look into Korea and release it there. So, and Korea is a pretty huge online market, so I'm kind of like...
Is it not going to be free-to-play? Because I don't see China picking a game up that's not free-to-play. That game would be too hard to make free-to-play at this point, because a lot of the economy is based on the fact that you're paying a subscription.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be free to play over there. I think it's going to be subscription based, which, you know, it's interesting though that a lot of people are kind of playing it and then saying that they really like it, you know, and knowing full well that in order for them to actually continue their character, they're going to have to pay a monthly fee. So maybe they're making a really good case for like a monthly MMO over there, which to me it's interesting.
All right, I found the numbers I was looking for.
Okay.
This isn't actually number of subscribers. It's worldwide revenue, and it's for 2013.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully we can kind of make some guesses based on this. So, yes, in 2013, the top subscription-based MMO was, of course, World of Warcraft, with $1,041 million in the year, I guess.
So that's a billion.
That's $1 billion. Second place was Lineage, the original Lineage.
Wow.
With 253 million.
Mm-hmm.
Third place was Terra Online, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
236 million. And then it goes on to Star Wars The Old Republic, Lord of the Rings Online, EVE, and so on. The interesting thing is the percentage of market share. World of Warcraft has 36% of all MMO games.
Wow.
Or RPGs, anyway. This actually just says MMO titles, so I wonder if that includes, like, massive online shooters and things like that too.
Oh, maybe.
But Lineage has 9% and Terra has 8%. This was in 2013, so I wonder what's going to happen when we compare the numbers to 2014.
Yeah.
But one thing's for sure, Final Fantasy 14 did not make this list at all.
Yeah, it's because they only hit 2 million when the PS4 version came out. So that is a brand. That is a new thing. As a new development when regards to that, because I want to say last year was about 1.8 million. I mean, they had like that sales record where they said like we sold a shit ton in like a month or something like that. But it's definitely kind of slowed down, but that's why they're targeting other countries.
Yeah, and the actual product sales are much less important than the sustained subscriptions.
Exactly. So I think right now, like, I think Square Enix's focus is retention, because I think they're doing a pretty good job of doing the content updates. I mean, 2.3 means that we're halfway through the storyline all the way up until the expansion. That's nuts to me.
Well, they must have done something right, because they just got my first paid month subscription since the entire game launched in 2011.
They got 6 months out of me a week ago, so I prepay for the 6 months. It's cheaper, and I already got my flying eyeball.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, your flying eyeball mount. That's right, your Ahriman.
Well, we'll see if I'm still playing a month from now. Maybe I'll jump into a 6 month renewal.
I've only done one PvP match. You know, I want to talk about PvP and Destiny a little later, but I just did like a double segue, and I don't think we're done talking about Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, how was your experience with Final Fantasy so far? I mean, obviously you like the game, and you keep praising it, especially like its design. It's kind of refreshing. Like, I've never seen
it's
you actually...
It's one of the most cleanly designed games as far as systems interacting with each other I've seen in a long time. And it's just absolutely a delight to play. I was thinking about if I reviewed this game, would I give it a 10? It's like, I think I would. I think I would give this game a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said before, I consider it the current standard for the EverQuest-style MMO. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is just how everything works, how there's always something to do, how finding the information you need to do the things you need to do is easy, how you can go from one thing to the next smoothly, mm-hmm. How it kind of trickle-feeds you the different mechanics and systems throughout the first 30 or so levels. Mm-hmm. It's just pretty much got everything you would want from an MMO, especially if you're already a Final Fantasy fan.
So
it's a great game. Got me again. I've started not wanting to do the things that I'm responsible for doing.
Rachel has said that I'm getting ornery when I'm not playing it enough. Like, I haven't had the time to do Cutter's Cry yet, but I'm going to do it soon. But I've noticed that I'm now in the game where the dungeons no longer hold my hand. So,
yeah.
Well, you guys are lucky I'm in this damn podcast right now, because I should be playing.
Dude, I think we would all be playing.
Yeah. And the thing,
all right, let's just cut it short and start streaming.
All right, it's 10 minutes. Go.
Good night, everybody.
No, I mean, you know what we can't play is Destiny, because the beta is now down until Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So it's down today, which is the 21st. We're actually recording this on Monday. This is our new recording day. And the 22nd, which is Tuesday. Now, I mean, you told me, Ted, that you're over Destiny.
Well, let me ask you guys something before you go into that.
Okay.
I haven't played the beta yet. I did play the alpha. The question is that I have is, should I play the beta?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah.
The level cap is still 8. The mission you did, there are more story missions. Mm-hmm. There are like 3 more story missions. Remember how you spent 45 minutes trying to get through those damn bars in the alpha?
Yeah.
They changed the waypoint in the beta to make it very clear that you need to go under the bars.
I guess a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
A lot of people, yeah.
Which way do I go?
I mean, it was like, I noticed, I was like, yeah, I knew this was coming. But I did PvP for the first time, and there's a major problem with PvP in Destiny.
Which is?
Imagine if Borderlands had PvP.
Oh, weapon imbalances and all that
stuff. No, it's not just weapon imbalances. I have no idea what the hell these people have that are killing me.
Oh, yeah.
When you play an FPS, you know, there's a legitimate level of strategy. Like, even with Call of Duty, there's a limited number of guns.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there's an unlimited number of guns in Destiny, but I have no goddamn idea what anybody's using. There's a guy who was one-shotting me with, I think it was a hand cannon, but at a hand cannon that was like he was firing rapid fire. And I'm like, I don't know how he got that.
You see, that's kind of like my experience, too, with the Crucible. It was like, okay, you know, people are two-shotting me or one-shotting me, and I'm like, what the fuck? We're all capped at level 8. What is going on here? Like, you know, they're not headshotting me because they're
grinding for slightly better weapons is what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's all they can do. And you can get reputation weapons, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Oh, we're using the Crucible points, too.
Yep. And you can also get Iron Banner points if you did the Iron Banner event.
Yeah.
How much focus is on the competitive multiplayer in that game?
I don't feel like there's a lot.
Is it there just because?
I'd like to think so. I don't know what they're going to do with it. It's just strange to see a bunch of developed FPS feel like,
Yeah.
But I mean, the question is whether or not that's going to have anything to do with a buying decision. Because really, the part of Destiny that is interesting to me is the storyline, the single-player stuff, and I guess the cooperative stuff when that kicks in. Yeah. I'm not quite as worried about shooting people.
Yeah.
But I guess from the makers of Halo, you expect that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've had like so many years of experience with multiplayer, you would think that they would have like a pretty good solution for multiplayer.
But well, they do. Regular PvP is level balanced.
Okay, that's the Crucible.
The Iron Banner, which is also the Crucible, is not level balanced on purpose.
On purpose. So it's just it's just jibbing people all over the place.
So it'll balance out at level cap.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. When I tried PvP in the alpha, I was level capped, so I don't know how much more they could fucking improve it. And I got, like, fucking rare items and shit for armor. I'm like, and people are still one-shotting me. I'm like, what the fuck?
I'll log into the beta on Saturday after 2 o'clock because there'll be a permanent reward for people that do that, but it's probably just going to be, like, a banner item.
They said it's an emblem.
Oh, whoopee. I have, like, the beta emblem from fucking Blacklight Retribution. That doesn't matter. I've got the beta emblem from, like, Halo Reach. No one plays Halo Reach. I have the beta emblem from Halo 4, and I traded that in because we're all going to play it on Xbox One now.
Yeah.
I still need to play that and open it.
I kind of mirror Ted's opinion on this, because I mean, it almost spoiled the game for me, to be honest, because there's so much story and kind of exposition and narrative and cutscenes that I feel like, okay, this should fucking lead into the full game, because right now, you know, right now this is just a fucking cock tease at this point. You know, it's like you're wetting your whistle for like the main event, and you still have about a month away until that actually fucking happens.
It's like, how dare they call this a beta? This is clearly a demo, and you calling it a beta. I mean, okay, so I guess the new thing is to say that everything's a beta.
Mm-hmm. That's the new chic. And I guess, like, you know, and because to be honest, like, the only load balancing thing that they pretty much openly said, yeah, there's a reason why we're load balancing, is fucking Saturday. That's it. That's the only, that's why they're going to give you a fucking emblem. Is like, hey, by the way, if you log into this time, you know, like, well, you're going to get like a fucking emblem and you're going to help us load balance. And I'm like, well, great. So what was the rest of my time here for? Like, just so I can fuck around and kind of, you know, tease myself from the fucking, you know, like, full game? I mean, Jesus. Stop it. It's like, that's why I kind of, like, I feel the same way. I'm totally over it. I'm like, I'm
the,
done.
The trick is to remember that this company that calls themselves Bungie is not Bungie, all right? Bungie died when Alex Seropian left the company to go make really stupid games.
Didn't he make, like, Stubbs the Zombie or some shit?
Okay, Stubbs the Zombie might have been okay, but then he made, what was that one about electing, like, animals to the presidency?
Oh, my God. I remember that, yeah.
And then he joined Disney, and then he probably got fired from Disney like everybody else.
Yeah. Did you know that, okay, this is completely tangential, but did you know that Disney, for, like, Employee Appreciation Day last week, they had a full-on fucking carnival in their lot with free food? Yeah, they had, like, fucking, they had, like, clowns and shit. They had, like, a fucking Ferris wheel. And I'm like, on the Disney lot.
Good for them. Here's my point. If I took my copy of Pathways into Darkness, which I still have on fucking floppy, and I took it to Seattle, and I went to the Bungie headquarters, and I asked one of their employees to sign it, they would go, did we make this? And you know what? That's what it comes down to. This isn't Bungie anymore. They're a company that makes some nice games, but they're sure not the company of my youth that made, like, Mac exclusive games, and they're rebels and revolutionaries. Now you're just a bunch of cocks. And I hope maybe someone, one of you listens to this and thinks about that and wonders, like, you know, is none of you personally are cocks, but the output of your work, of your labor force as a combined unit of people making a product, you're all cocks.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. It's really
nothing against you personally, but ship sailed.
Yeah. It's I mean, it's still going to be
still pre-ordered.
I mean, it's 90, a fun game.
Bucks.
You know, it's a fun game. We're all going to play it. It's just, what is the point of this beta except to just tease us more?
They have been teasing this beta for literally over 12 months.
Yeah, and it wasn't enough. They're like, "Here's the alpha." And I'm like,
"And it ends on Saturday."
Yeah.
There is no reason to get excited for anything.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, okay, like, cuz they promised, like, yeah, it's going to be new shit. I'm like, "No, this is not new shit. It's the same fucking map they gave us in the alpha, okay? It's not the same. It's not. Really.
And that was way too polished to be an alpha. I've played alphas before. Holy crap.
Well, there were bugs.
When Skullgirls was an alpha, there was one playable character and three versions of her. Mm-hmm. All right? Yeah. That's an alpha.
Well, there was one serious bug where it was funny. I was playing with Sean, and he couldn't fucking, like, we could hear him, but he couldn't hear us. So it was like, just like, you know, he was talking to himself the whole time, and me and his friend were just like, well, I don't know, we can hear each other. Don't give a shit. Makes things really difficult. But there's also the fact that you can go into the tower, and the tower's completely empty, which is just great. It's like, So it's buggy. But yes, I don't know. Don't just skip this, Ari. You don't need. There's nothing to see here that you won't see in the full version.
Spend the time, that's what I figured. And play more Final Fantasy, and I mean that in all seriousness, because I'm going to do the same thing, and I don't regret. Here's the thing: when I was playing the beta, it was a lot of fun, and then it was over. It was literally as long as the alpha. It's just that you can do more story missions to level up instead of just roaming around.
So were you able to test, like, the Explore and the Strike and all that stuff? I mean,
oh, I did the Strike. Okay, the Strike was actually fun because, like, We had to go all the way through. One of those giant tanks was like the mini boss.
Oh.
The second boss. And what was interesting about the strike was, okay, it was exactly the same pace as an FF14 dungeon. Trash boss, trash boss, trash final boss.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And the bosses had to be fought like a certain way. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, this is now an MMO.
Like that spider tank that you fought.
Oh, well, the spider tank was killed the same way. You just shoot at the legs forever, but my partners didn't know that when you take down a leg, the engine comes out and you need to blast the crap out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that went on for longer than it needed to.
Yeah. That mini boss, for what it is, takes a long ass fucking time to beat.
And then, of course, the boss is a giant friggin' eye. That's what I need. More eyes.
Yeah, more eyes. It's Bungie's fascination with eyeballs. But yeah, that's cool. I mean, I think that the Destiny game is going to be cool. This beta is just like whatever the fuck. This is negligible. Like, especially if you're like a storyline person. Like, this thing is just, you know, the only thing that I can pretty much say with conviction that the Destiny beta pretty much reveals is that your character can talk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he talks.
Yeah, so.
Or she. Do you have a female voice?
Nah, I have a female voice.
There you go.
Yeah, so there's that. And of course, the hair. Amazing hair. But they had hair in the previous one.
Meanwhile, Nintendo doesn't really have anything new to talk about.
Really?
Well, they have Tomodachi Life, and they'd still like you to buy Mario Kart, because the Mario Kart free game deal ends in 10 days.
I want both of those games, but I don't have time to play either.
How is Tomodachi Life? I mean, a lot of comparisons were like Animal Crossing, but I don't think it's Animal Crossing.
It's Animal Crossing in that they want you to interact with your stupid assholes every day, even if you want to do other things, and your stupid assholes, like, have feelings. And so if you're too busy, then, like, your stupid assholes will hate you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Well, I can tell. It's just totally fine. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of... I'm tempted to get it, but it's like, I feel like it's going to be like Animal Crossing and Disney Magical World. Like, kind of like, you know, it's like, yay.
Yeah, wait a minute. Isn't Disney Magical World like the same thing? Did we just forget that existed all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Wow. The lifespan of a game is short, even though Mario Kart's going to get new content with these fucking action figures.
Yeah. Disney Magical World's a good game. I mean, it is very much Rune Factory, but without the marriage and all that shit. But I don't know. I don't know why it died. I mean, I was playing it, like, obsessively, like, for, like, a whole couple of months, and now it's like, meh, whatever. And I even, like, went back and tried to play, like, Animal Crossing, and I'm like, meh, oh, look at those grass. It's like... You know, it's almost like when you go back to your Animal Crossing town, they fucking try to reprimand you. Like I think there was, like, this one fucking character that basically, like, you know, sat right outside my house and said, you know, you might want to pull all the grass. And by the way, there are 60 of them spread across your town. Here's a counter in the corner. I'm like, when is pulling grass a fucking gameplay feature?
Wait, that really happens?
That really happens. And there's exactly 60 pieces of grass that you have to pull. That's and there is a fucking timer, like counter there.
Yeah, but just think, with a little creative rebranding, that would be fun.
No, I gotta tell you.
Homeless vagrant took 60 shits around your town. Clean it up.
Yeah. When it comes to Animal Crossing, I've never made it to a second season. Like, I know the game has support for all four seasons and all kinds of different things happens, and I always lose interest before I get to even the second one.
Ditto.
But for, like, the first month, I'll just be obsessed.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened with me. But I think Ted's onto something. I think South Park should make an Animal Crossing.
I would spend so much money on that if it were free to play. Or if it were... I would spend the maximum amount of money I could spend on that as a consumer product.
I mean, imagine if Cartman actually shit all over the place.
Although, like, South Park did betray us all.
Well, I mean, the Hulu thing?
Well, mostly that now you can no longer go to South Park Studios to stream it. It's only going to be on Hulu.
Wait, really? You can't do that anymore?
Because they signed the exclusive deal with Hulu, like, last week.
Oh, fucking assholes.
From what
assholes.
I understand, they're going to have one season at a time available for free viewing, and everything else is going to be behind the Hulu paywall.
Ugh. I mean, it's $8, but even then, that's the only
$8 plus you still get ads.
Yeah.
That's the thing that pisses off people the most about Hulu is that they pay.
And they've managed to get around ad blocking. If you ad block, you don't get your videos.
Wow. That's nuts.
Yeah, so people are just rabbling all over the place about this one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hope they make fun of it. I really hope they make fun of it, though. That would be great.
Yeah.
I want to be taken to task for what I believe in.
Yeah. That's just fucking awful. Like, that really is the only reason why I want to go on Hulu, is because I miss my South Park episodes. This is fucking...
Oh, did you hear that The Simpsons are going to get their own streaming place called Simpsons World? And if you have a cable subscription, it's free.
Well, whoop-dee-doo.
If you don't have a cable subscription, you can't watch it.
At all.
See, that I hate. That's like what HBO Go was doing.
Yep.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
You know what I was thinking lately? Mm. I think pretty much every single television network needs to just provide their own streaming service for a monthly fee of like a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
I would pay a dollar a month for every channel that I love and not give any money to any of the other channels that I don't watch. And
you
that
mean
would
like
be enough
cut
for
out
me.
The middleman? Jeez, that's brilliant.
Yeah,
why hasn't anyone thought
of
that?
Fuck all the cable providers.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I almost want to segue this into Weird Al Yankovic, because I mean he did a pretty fucking good job of like getting people to go to 8 different fucking websites to watch his fucking music videos. I thought that
Wait,
was like,
weren't
really...
they all on YouTube?
No, they were
all on different websites.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was a collaboration. There were 8 different like nerd geek websites that hosted it, which is to me like was a great idea. So Nerdist had the first one, and then the second one I want to say was
I can respect that, you know. I can respect that.
Yeah. And then I know Funny or Die was one of them. One of them was it was on Vivo, not the Vivo channel on YouTube. There was even fucking Yahoo Video. I was like, what? Yahoo has a fucking content channel? What the hell?
Yeah, that's where our community's going to go.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Vivo one through Wall Street Journal, of all things.
Yes! What the
Wait,
fuck?
Wait, Wall Street Journal?
Yes!
Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah.
I'm impressed! Holy Jesus in a chicken basket.
He's hot shit right now, dude. Like, he's doing something that, you know, basically is destroying, like, people's perception of, like, promotion for, like, their albums.
And he's still alive while Michael Jackson is dead.
Yeah. They had, like, that short sale, too, for like on Amazon for his album for, like, $6. I was like, oh, okay, get it.
Oh, I had no idea. Well, I have Spotify, so I already have the whole album.
Yeah, I'm just gonna get it because I want to support the dude. I do have the whole album. And the videos are pretty cool. Like, I really like them.
I actually bought it on a compact disc.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They exist.
Collector. Okay, that's a collector's item now.
Now, if you get.
I pretty much bought all of his albums on CD, so I figured I'd just get this one too.
Dude.
Not that I'm ever going to use the disc again now that I've ripped it, but, you know, what the hell?
At least
I have it.
Yeah,
it's got a flap. It's got the lyrics.
Wow. It's got like. It's got like a physical booklet?
Yeah. It's got a physical booklet. With
Dude, games don't even have manuals anymore.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, have you even heard the album, Ted?
Yeah. I was listening to Word Crimes. That's one of my favorite ones.
That's one of my favorite ones too.
My favorite track is actually the one that was the last video to be released, Mission Statement, which is an homage to Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I swear to God, Weird Al Yankovic's inspirations are like my favorite recording artists of all time. Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Frank Zappa. Did you ever hear Genius in France on that other album?
Mm-mm, no.
It's like this 9-minute homage to Frank Zappa, and wow. It's amazing. So, like the artists that inspired him are just incredible. I'm a big fan of Weird Al. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorites is, I think my favorite that I always listen to is Foil. I think it's just great. Like, how do you, because I was like, you know, when you listen to the song, you're like, all right, okay, he's going to go into like just different uses of aluminum foil. And he goes the fucking Illuminati route. I'm like, oh, wow.
I was waiting for the third verse and it never came.
Well, yeah, he got kidnapped.
Well, yeah.
The Men in Black like took him. So, yeah. Oh, Weird Al. Yes.
Listen to this album, watch the videos, it's great.
Yeah, there's 8 videos. All 8 videos are now out. They're all at 8 different websites, but you can get them all on weirdal.com, I think. Yeah, you can.
Or just check out his, follow him on Facebook, and you can see all of his links.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting a lot of like fucking exposure too. I like the one video where I think he posted it where he had to explain to a Fox News anchor what the internet was. That was a great video.
I did not see that.
Yeah, you should check it out. yeah, so yeah, he's hot shit right now. So we're about a week away from The Last of Us Remastered.
Meh.
That also means tomorrow Naxxramas comes out for Hearthstone.
Oh, that's
right. That is true.
Which means maybe it comes out at like 9 o'clock tonight, West Coast. You know, just keep refreshing.
No, actually, the servers are going down at midnight, coming up at 8 a.m.
Well, that settles that. Oh, yeah, well.
Specific time, but doesn't
matter. Well, get in on that early because it's, you know.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, like, what you guys, like, think about that. Because, I mean, this is a pretty big deal. I mean, these are single-player packs for the fucking, for a primarily, so far, like, multiplayer game.
Oh, I mean, it's basically a mini expansion pack, or, like, a whole new set of cards. It's going to have a drastic effect on the multiplayer version of the game.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, it's... So, I mean, always with collectible card games and trading card games, the first expansion to the original set of cards is make it or break it. Because people get so familiar with the original set and so used to how it all works and what works with what and what combinations are working and, you know, how to get around certain strategies, and they build decks just to avoid, you know, the bad situations they could come across. So then they introduce new cards. This changes everything, and this particular expansion is all about the death rattle mechanic, where something happens when a creature dies, or when a
It looks like half the cards deal with death rattle. There's a card that makes you do death rattle twice. There's some really awesome looking death rattles.
Yeah, so and, I mean, it's going to be a game changer for sure. And the
until people min-max the cards again.
Yeah, but the question is, how obsolete will the old decks become? Like the popular builds that everybody uses on high level play.
The old decks as they exist. Are you talking about any deck without expansion cards?
Yeah,
I think every competitive deck is going to need expansion cards.
That's probably true.
Hmm.
So
excited! Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
So, have you decided whether you're going to use gold or money?
I'm still leaning towards using money.
Okay,
but you know, I still need to get the whole stream thing going. So, I might just record the process on just using Fraps or something and post it on YouTube instead of going the stream route.
Okay.
Because that way I don't have to worry too much. I can get it done and open some packs because I'm just getting so pissed off not having any good cards.
That sucks.
It's kind of like ruining the fun of the game for me at this point because, you know, it's been so long since the game's come out. Mm-hmm. Like, pretty much everybody has everything except for me.
So, well, technically I haven't, but I have no intention of getting the game. Just not because, like... It's a terrible game, but it's just not for me. It's
A lot of people feel that way about the entire genre of collectible card games. Like, they're just not into it.
Yeah.
Like, I have a friend who's a complete World of Warcraft junkie, and she refuses outright to play Hearthstone. She doesn't even want to try it.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. It's probably the stigma of, like, you know, having to get the cards, getting good cards, assembling decks.
And for her, it goes all the way back to Magic. She never liked Magic, you know.
Oh.
That pretty much just turned her off to card games entirely.
That's pretty it. Yeah, wow. That's nuts. Okay, so...
And speaking of card games, do we want to segue into Magic 2015 again?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's do that.
So, my review's out. I gave it a 4.
Ooh.
I know.
Oh. Out of 10. And I felt really bad doing it, but...
So, okay, so by comparison, what did you give last year's version?
Last year, I gave it a 6, and I felt bad about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have given 2013 and 2012, the prior 2 years, solid 8s or 9s, easily.
Wow.
But, you know, last year, I had a strong disagreement with some of the choices that they made in terms of how they introduced the sealed version of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sealed mode where played blind. They basically let you play it a few times, and then if you wanted to play it anymore, you had to start paying money.
Oof.
And you couldn't even delete your previous save files to do that. You had to buy new slots. So it's like, okay, I bought the game. They advertised that the game came with this mode, but once I've played it 3 times, I can no longer play it.
No, oh, wow.
Until I spend money over and over again. So the way they monetized that was just infuriating last year, and I took off a couple of points for that. This year, though, it's... I don't know. There's 2 issues this year. One is on the financial side of things again. The fact that there is a set of premium cards in the game that can only be obtained by paying $1.99 for packs of them.
What? what the fuck?
So coming from a Hearthstone world where all the cards are accessible to all players without spending a penny. to a game where you've already paid $10 to buy the game, and now if you want these premium cards, you have to spend $2 per pack.
Wow.
That was just, you know, really, really insulting. Now, to be fair, that collection of cards is a small percentage of the entire library of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the cards can be acquired either by playing through the campaign, or they actually let you buy the entire set for $5 per plane.
Hmm.
The campaign is divided into five planes. Each plane represents five sets of cards, and each basically playing in those planes unlocks the cards, or pay $5 and you have them all immediately.
Right.
But yeah, the majority of the cards in the game can be acquired for just by playing it. So for the initial $9.99 investment, you can get pretty much everything except for the premium cards.
Wow.
So it's not as bad as I made it sound, but it's still pretty damn bad that there are cards that you can't get after buying the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad thing. So that's the financial problem. But the much, much bigger problem is that they've completely abandoned what makes Duels of the Planeswalkers Duels of the Planeswalkers, mm-hmm. which are all the decks, the pre-constructed decks that have so many cards in them and so many cards on the sideboard. And the whole concept of trying to make the best of those cards for that deck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for all our complaining over the years about wanting to be able to craft our own decks from scratch, regardless of that, the Duels of the Planeswalker series became something interesting in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gameplay that centered around building the best version of each deck and competing those decks against each other in a fairly balanced environment. I mean, there were a couple overpowered decks, you know, grant you, but that was fun. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, that kept me playing. You know, unlocking one card for each deck for each win kept me playing each of the decks in the game over and over again until I unlocked all the cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like 30 or 40 games per deck that I would play.
Right.
So all that is completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Wow.
Now start the game. You get to pick one of 10 starter decks, and they're really, really weak starter decks. And from there, you unlock booster packs that contain cards that go into your collection,
mm-hmm.
and you can then build your decks from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's what we asked for. Build our own decks. It's what we've been bitching about for the past 5 years or so.
Mm.
But did it make the game better? Absolutely not. It made it a lot worse. It lost the heart of the series. It didn't provide a suitable substitute to the physical card game because the card pool is so limited. And just for all intents and purposes, there's no value in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll play through the campaign once and not even bother with multiplayer because the card pool is so limited and there's no interesting pre-constructed decks to battle against one another.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, disappointing this year.
Wow.
Really, really disappointing. I mean, we got what we wanted, but they took away what we already had, and it just didn't quite work. So,
yeah.
4/10. Sorry.
I'm trying to figure out like how to fucking additionally monetize it. Ugh.
Yeah, it's not only that, but like over the years, there's always been some interesting game modes included with the Magic games.
Mm.
The most popular one is probably Two-Headed Giant. I think that was in last year's mode. And then the year before that, there was Plane Chase, and there's just been a variety of different gameplay modes that have been included over the years. This year, none of that. You've got two-player multiplayer, three-player, or four-player matches.
Oh, my God.
It. Yep, bare bones. I can't even imagine what they're going to try to release in terms of expansion content for this game, because you know there's going to be stuff for it.
Mm-hmm.
They always have deck packs and things of that. I mean, I don't even know what they're going to do. They can't have deck packs because there's no decks.
Oh.
So what the hell are they going to do when they start releasing expansion content for this game? Is it going to be the missing game modes? Have they been holding out on us?
Oh.
I mean, yeah, some really, really, really bad decisions went into this game.
That sucks.
So, sorry.
I don't think you should be sorry about a fucking game that's like trying to milk everybody for what they're worth.
I am sorry because, you know, I'm somebody who has been a fan of this series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've argued for it, and I just had to give the latest game a 4.
Yeah.
Sad.
Well, you know, it is what it is. If this is the direction they want to go to in a landscape that, you know, where like Hearthstone exists, it's like that's, you know, they're just going to basically keep shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, if anything, it's going to be interesting. I mean, like I said, like I'm not interested in CCGs, but I'm more interested in what Blizzard is going to do for Hearthstone, because they seem to support it really, really well. So
yeah, and they've got a massive player base. Everybody loves it. It's free to play. They can so easy to get new people to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but the game itself was designed to be so fast paced and snappy and easy to play, done in 15 minutes or so, if that. And the weirdest part for me was going from having played Hearthstone since August or September, and all of a sudden I was playing Magic 2015, and the pace of Magic the Gathering is so slow compared to Hearthstone,
mm-hmm.
Especially in video game form, because of how the game, basically in Magic the Gathering, anytime you do anything, mm-hmm. your opponent has to have an opportunity to respond to what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Hearthstone, when it's your turn, you're doing your business. When it's your opponent's turn, they're doing their business. There's no interrupting what's going on or trying to cast an instant. But in Magic, there is.
Yeah.
So in order to allow the player to be able to actually cast a spell in response to something else, mm-hmm. there's this little 2-second timer that happens after everything.
Wow.
And it's so you start your turn, you play a land, you cast your first spell, 2-second timer. Okay, I'm done casting my spell. I'm going to go into battle mode. 2-second timer. I am now declaring my attackers. 2-second timer. My opponent is now declaring their defenders. 2-second timer.
What?
I just cast an instant so that I destroyed one of my opponent's creatures. 2-second timer. They responded. 2-second. There's always these 2-second timers. Mm-hmm. I'm ending battle. I'm ending my main phase. You know, all these different things will cause this timer. And it has to be there to make Magic what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around it. This is not something I fault the developers of the game for. This is a fundamental part of Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And Hearthstone just makes a much more fun game to play in terms of pacing.
Yeah.
And beyond that, Magic the Gathering has another fundamental flaw that the developers couldn't do anything about. It's the fact that it has land. What? Cards that you have to put into your deck and hope to draw in order to generate resources. This has been a problem with Magic the Gathering since the very beginning. The fact that there are land cards that get shuffled in with your deck. Because inevitably, you're going to have a game where you don't draw enough. You're going to have a game where you draw too many. And for whatever reason, for whichever reason it is, you're not going to have a balanced game with your opponent who's going to have what they need when you don't.
Oh.
So in Hearthstone, each player gets a resource every single turn. It's mm-hmm. Even in that way. But in Magic, you have to have these land cards, and it's just been, it's again nothing the developers of the video game can do about it, but it's just the way it is, and it's pretty much obsolete at this point, I think, that style of resource mm-hmm. gathering.
Yeah.
So who knows what the future of Magic the Gathering is. It's still the world's number one trading card game in terms of its physical form, and I'm sure it will be for years to come. I still play it myself, but in terms of its video game form, it needs some work, that's for sure.
Yeah, totally. Ugh, that just sounds just so disheartening.
Yeah.
But next round is tomorrow, yay!
Yay! And then who knows what the heck, every Tuesday is like a blessing from Sony with the PlayStation Store push. Mm-hmm. Even though you got to pay for it.
Yeah. What's the latest thing from Sony? Do you know, Ted?
No, ever since they moved to monthly PlayStation press releases, they don't do the weekly, here are the sales on the store.
Wow.
Just assume that half of everything Atlas has is going to be on sale because,
Yeah.
They're starting to ramp up marketing for the PlayStation TV.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, there was a post on Twitter saying, hey, did you know we're releasing the PlayStation TV?
Whoa.
Which is the most they've said since E3, which was, we're releasing the PlayStation TV.
Wow.
I still have the same question about that I've had since it was first announced in that Japanese press conference,
mm-hmm.
which is, can I use my PlayStation Vita as a PlayStation TV controller?
I can answer that definitively for you. No.
Fuck.
Really?
The only reason I want a PlayStation TV is to play Vita games on my television.
You'll have to, well, you can, but you'll need a PlayStation 3 or PlayStation 4 controller.
Yeah, and then you're losing gameplay functionality.
No, you're not losing gameplay functionality. No game that requires touch works on the PlayStation TV.
Right. Okay.
That's why a lot of games have been patched to remove touch requirements.
I repeat, fuck. That's all I have to say about that.
Actually, when I was at Evo, I said, hey, does Persona 4 Golden work on PlayStation TV? And you know what the response I got back was?
What?
Nope.
What the fuck?
I mean, and basically, I told them, okay, does your game require touch at any time? And you know what the response to that was? I'm like, okay, come on.
You only need it for the social elements, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then it's not going to be compatible. Crap.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing it's used for is when you go into network mode and you're in, like, a dungeon and mm-hmm. somebody asks for help, you have to push the little button on the screen that says, help them.
Yeah.
And then they'll get, like, some HP and SP in their next battle.
Mm-hmm. Well, games could be patched. For example, you know how Skullgirls is coming out on the Vita?
Right.
If you play it on PlayStation TV, it'll support two players locally with two different controllers.
Wow.
So that's Vita TV-only features. So, yeah, it can be done.
Interesting.
I just want my Vita to television adapter. That's all.
I'm thinking of getting a PlayStation TV mainly because, like, there are those Vita games that I want to play and stuff, like, on my TV. I mean, there's a novelty, right? But my hesitation is, like, the people who do have the PlayStation TV who are playing their Vita games on their TV, just basically, like, the consensus seems to be that they look like shit. And I'm like, well, I guess I should probably have expected that, but at the same time, I'm like, well, the resolution of the Vita is pretty high. I should probably expect something at least 720p, but
yeah.
I guess it's not showing up that way for some reason. I don't know. It's been really weird. Like, you know, just from
my ideal hope would be a product that would plug the Vita into my television and even add a layer of sampling or something to make it look nice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the ideal product if I can't just get a basic HDMI cable.
Yeah.
But the point is, I want to play the Vita games on my television, and I can't.
I do want to play Persona 4 also, like, you know, on my TV, and I can't do it. And I actually want to play Persona 3 Portable. Well, Persona 3 Portable,
there needs to be, like,
a
reverse remote play.
Reverse remote play.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's exactly what we need.
Well, I mean, okay, like, at the very least, I can play Persona 3 Portable on my TV. I was able to do that already.
Before, yeah.
Fuck. Well, I can do it again with at least, like, a better controller.
I just found my PlayStation Portable TV cables again, so.
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah, I still have this.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I guess, like, you know, remember that PlayStation 3D display deal is still up, but it's $30 more.
Oh, mine came and I used it already and I got the 3D glasses and everything and I did it.
How is it?
I have no idea why I got so excited for this shit. Oh my God.
Okay, so elaborate.
I plug it in. I had to redo the display settings so the PlayStation 3 recognized I had a 3D display.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are certain times, like certain settings you can set. So I pop open Hatsune Miku, which supports 3D. To my horror, I find out it only supports 3D in non-interactive parts of the game.
Oh, what?
Wow. Well, that's bullshit.
That is bullshit.
And then I played Super Stardust. I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. And then I look at the list of games that support it, and they're all 2011 vintage, except maybe Puppeteer.
Wow.
Yeah, they definitely dropped the ball on 3D. Or to be more specific, the public dropped the ball on supporting it.
So
shame on you.
Here's the 3D TV sitting in front of my other TV with no place for it and me thinking, this isn't the worst $100 I ever spent. I once spent a lot of money on Eye of Judgment cards.
Oh.
And you know, to this day, I can say no matter the stupidest thing that I buy, it wasn't dumber than Eye of Judgment, and you'd be surprised how easy it is to justify anything that way.
Mm.
But now you can buy 3D Blu-rays.
I can! Whoa! And the Xbox One now supports 3D Blu-rays.
Yep. So, wow. you can use your PlayStation 3D display with your Xbox One.
I have nothing hooked up to it. I have my Wii hooked up to my old TV and my PlayStation 2 hooked up to my old TV and a tear running down my cheek.
The only problem is that it's not really a very big screen.
It's 24 inches, but you get close enough to it, and you know, you believe in yourself.
Yeah, but 3D gets better the bigger the screen. It's you need a big screen for good 3D.
I'm going to pretend you're lying so I feel better about myself.
Okay. Well, you can play 3D Blu-rays. Go back to your moment of happiness.
Yay. Well, I'm just going to go back to I got a free copy of Donkey Kong 3D, and I haven't touched it yet, but it's like that was a game I wanted to buy, and now I didn't have to spend money on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate, I hate to contradict myself, but I have an example of a bigger screen not improving 3D quality, and it is the 3DS XL.
Ooh. really?
The 3DS XL actually has worse 3D, in my opinion, because for some reason the angle gets weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But so
it's definitely a lower quality 3D experience than the original 3DS.
I wonder if it's the game.
I've actually used 3D less since I got the XL.
I actually like the 3D in Shovel Knight. The 3D is really good in Shovel Knight.
Oh, that's right. That's on the 3DS. That's right.
Yeah, I it's on 3DS or Wii U, and picking between the two, I like the one I can play portably versus the one I can't play portably, because I can still play it at home if I want.
Mm-hmm.
PC?
Well, yeah, it's also on PC, but I mean...
Not portable.
It's also the same price on every platform to start with, and I know it's going to go on sale on Steam if it hasn't already, but, you know...
Mm-hmm.
You know...
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I mean, are you enjoying Shovel Knight?
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah? I mean, I think, what was it the last time, like, we saw this game? Like, it was, like, an Indiecade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was great then, too.
It's good. It has some Mega Man feel, but it's not like you gain your opponent's powers. You just have to, like, fight through retro stages and battle against, like, themed knights.
Hmm. I remember one of the things that I remember from last year's Indiecade, which I'm hoping we can go again this year, is Pierre Solar, which is still not out. Jesus Christ, that game. You guys remember that game, right?
Yeah, wasn't that the Dreamcast one?
Yeah, that used to be the Dreamcast game. Now it's coming out for the Wii U? Or a Wii? I don't know. And now it's kind of disappeared again? I don't know. I have a weird feeling that we're going to go another generation, that game's not out again. So.
Wow. Sorry to change the subject out of nowhere, but I'm looking at community reviews on Steam for Magic 2015, and I don't think I've ever seen so many thumbs down in my entire life.
Really?
Oh, no, go look at that new dating sim. That one gets tanked.
Wow.
Well, but there's lots of boobs.
Boobs. Can you read some reviews, Ari?
Like I'm also on Steam. Let me look at the reviews.
Here's a review for Magic 2015 that 29 out of 41 people found helpful. Mm-hmm. It says, and I quote, "Don't buy it."
Okay. Very, very direct. That's
wow, it's so many I haven't seen a single thumbs up yet, and I've scrolled to the bottom of the page. Okay. Nope. Okay, I've read about 40 thumbs downs. 50 thumbs downs.
Wow.
Yeah.
60 thumbs downs.
Wow.
70 thumbs downs. I haven't found a thumbs up yet. For the record, I've already found a few thumbs ups for the hentai game because, like, boobs.
Yeah.
Right.
And hentai, of course.
Oh, I found the don't buy it. That's like 100 of them down. Okay, here's one. 22 of 29 people found this helpful. The pay to win is very strong with this one. Hell, really I'm good. Fine with pay to win, but they failed to be Hearthstone.
Wow. Wow.
So speaking of things that shouldn't cost money, I have a news item this week.
Oh, shit. Okay, let's do that.
Believe it or not, PC Gamer has some footage of The Sims 4, and in the demonstration, they've noticed something called premium membership.
Oh, no. Oh, hell no.
Oh, my God. So it's not just Battlefield. Every game is going to have this. Well, okay, every game has a season pass. Who the fuck cares? Why am I laughing? This is normal. It's normal.
Let me quote the article. The Sims 4 Premium. Save on new packs with early access and exclusive items. Become a premium member to get early access to 3 new packs with exclusive items. Your Sims can throw a spooky costume party, camp in the great outdoors, and toast to the new year in style.
Hold on! Back up! Did you just say spooky costume party?
Yep.
I just shit my pants.
I think we have our first premium member right here.
Oh my god.
Wow. Wow!
Oh God!
I've never heard Ted laugh that much. Wow!
Oh, I'm losing consciousness.
I have heard Ted laugh this much once before, but I can't repeat when on the air. Don't die, Ted. Please.
Don't die on the podcast. Oh, no.
Okay. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it.
I can't believe
this
that.
Is the dumbest thing. Okay. Okay. All right.
So dare I ask the question?
No, I was just thinking about that time I accidentally saw someone playing Just Dance with their pants off and then just pooping right on the floor.
Oh.
And
what? I'd
rather just go back to that. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Okay. But let's wind this back a bit. Here's the question. I don't think this paragraph actually describes the premium member service.
What?
What do you think it is actually going to entail? Like, what do you think they'll be offering people? Where are we going to get?
They're going to offer
EA's previous track record. I guess the game will go gold 6 months after it comes out. Boom! That's a Battlefield 4 joke, everybody. By the way, the game is good now. Just, you know.
Well, because I can actually think of a situation in which a premium membership for The Sims would actually make sense.
Okay.
I really doubt this is what it's going to be, but if it is, that would be great.
Most likely not.
I've often complained about The Sims 3 store and how all the individual piece of furniture were like $3 and ridiculously overpriced furniture for The Sims, and that you're basically, you could easily spend hundreds of dollars on far less content than you would get for an entire expansion pack, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Sims 4 premium service, you get access to everything as long as you're subscribed.
That's an interesting idea. Kind of like PlayStation
Plus.
Simple,
right? Yeah, exactly. Basically the PlayStation Plus of The Sims. I think for the diehard community, that would be an excellent option.
Mm-hmm.
And the only question is, what happens when you stop subscribing? Does your house become empty? I don't know. But this is just a theory. But I don't really quite understand what The Sims 4 Premium is at this point, so I'm looking forward to an actual official post on the subject. But hey, spooky costume party.
I also saw a news article saying that Maxis is hiring for a new IP. I'm kind of more curious about that than Sims 4 at this point.
Maxis making a new IP? Oh, God. Is it the return of Sim Ant?
That would be a new IP.
That's not even a
was.
Okay, I think when something is dormant for like 20 years, you can call it a new IP.
New IP, yeah, because no.
Well, I would definitely like Sim Earth to come back. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a cool game.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think we're in an era where we're just not going to see Sim games. People are just going to look at these games like, if you think Sims 4 isn't going to have a big console release, you're out of your mind.
The thing is, though, with like Sim games and stuff, is like, you know, those style of games are coming out on like mobile platforms, and a lot of people are playing those more. Like, I know for a fact that there's a huge following for like the Simpsons like app and whatever the fuck it's called. Like, you know, that, I mean, that's not really a Sim game, but
you know that the Simpsons actually introduces new characters in that game instead of the show now?
Yes. Yeah, wow. I'm well aware of that. It's a huge thing, and you can play it completely, like, you know, it's completely free to play. And that's kind of like what the most amazing thing about that game is.
Well, but we have to pay money for the premium characters.
Well, yes, but, you know, whatever. I mean, people who play that game don't really give a shit about the premium shit. They just want to make their own town. It's basically SimCity without all the fucking hassle of worrying about traffic and all that stuff. And really, those are, I feel that a huge part of that audience, that's the itch that scratches. I get pun. But
yeah,
like,
that's good.
But
I'll play it. I just need an iPad.
Well, you can. I want to say it's on Android.
It's on the
too.
Android.
Yeah.
Yes, but I don't really like playing games on my phone.
You can get it on the Tablort.
The Tablort.
Yeah, I don't have the Tablort yet.
Well, then you want an iPad. Then that's
yes.
The Tablort.
I'm waiting for the next gen.
Well, if you can hold on just for a little bit, the new iPads will probably come out, and if you actually get your butt off of Final Fantasy 14 and actually work,
trolling.
I haven't worked since the 4th of July.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's not true. I haven't done ride-sharing since the 4th of July, but I have
done work. Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, I'll be getting back into that soon.
Okay. All right. Cool. So, does anybody else have to add anything? Because I think we're done.
I don't know. I think I laughed myself out because now I can't really feel feelings. So
I think we know the title of the podcast.
Yes. Yes. There you go.
No.
Spooky horror party. Oh my god, this is gonna be amazing. All right. So speaking of spooky horror parties, Ted and I will be
costume. Yes. Spooky costume party.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Spooky costume party. Ted and I will be at. In Vegas in October for the Final Fantasy Fan Festival. So, I mean,
we're going to do it.
We're not going to cosplay, but we're going to be there checking out things. So, if
I think someone should cosplay the Sunken Temple of Karn. And
the actual temple?
No, like the first boss fight. So, like, someone cosplays the guy, and then there's a party, and someone puts three squares on the floor, and fucking nobody steps on them.
That sounds fucking awesome. Or at least cosplay the head, like a moving head. That'd be awesome. So, all right, guys, be sure to check out, of course, Social Link. That's doing really well with Anthony and me. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast, Backlog Barbecue, on iTunes and pretty soon Stitcher, because, you know, iTunes is not being friendly to podcasts anymore for some reason. Also, be sure to check out my stream on twitch.tv/backlogbattle_Alex, and, of course, Ted's stream at twitch.tv/backlogbattle_Ted, and Ari's whenever he gets around to it, which is twitch.tv/backlogbattle_Ari. So until next week, we'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.